That's good.
I'm Bernard McNabor, University of Central Lancashire, and this is interview 4, conducted with Angela McNabor, Nee Hollinghurst, on Wednesday, the 2nd of May, 2007. Angela, when were you born?
I was born in 1955.
What was the name of your father?
Alban Hollinghurst.
Can you recall his date and place of birth?
He was born, I don't know the year, he was probably born in Mount Street Hospital, because that's where all the people in the area went to at that time.
What was his occupation?
He was a grocer, a ring grocer.
Did he work long hours?
He did, yeah. He was. He worked in the shop from about 8 o'clock in the morning, and we shut at 6 o'clock. And then there was all the work to do after, stacking the shelves and the bookkeeping and everything.
How many days a week would that be?
6 days a week, every day but Sunday.
What was his age when he died?
He was just 70.
And can you remember the date?
It was the 21st of May, 1991.
Okay. What was the name of your mother?
Winifred Bain, before she was married. Winifred Bain.
And can you remember, again, her date and place of birth?
She was born in Chorley on the 30th of June. She was 81 years old this year.
Okay, then she'd have been born in 1926.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. What was her age at marriage?
27.
And would you know her occupation before she married?
She worked at Leila Mortis because it was during the war. And she worked in the Leila Mortis in the office just before she was married.
Okay. Did she continue to work after she got married?
Well, she got married and then worked in the shop because she married Dad, who had the shop. She became his shop assistant.
Okay, then. So it was a family concern?
Yes.
What about brothers and sisters?
My brothers and sisters.
Yes.
Well, the sister Christine, who now lives down in Kent, had a brother Julian, but he was killed in a car accident when he was 21. That was in 1973. Her brother Gerard, who's now 50, that's it.
Okay. Can you remember anything about your grandparents?
My grandparents, yeah. My father's parents used to run the shop before he did, and my father took over from him. It was Oswald and Elizabeth Hollinghurst. When they retired, they moved out to Ingle. They got a house at Ingle and moved out there. But Grandad still worked in the shop for a little while. He came in and helped out. And my mother's parents lived in Chorley. They were Hannah and Herbert. Hannah and Herbert Behrman. They lived in Chorley.
So, they didn't really live near you, but you certainly with your father's grandparents, you did see them quite often.
Yeah, when we were children, because they were always busy in the shop, Mum and Dad, on a Saturday we used to go up to Ingle, because they had a big garden.
Yeah.
And because we lived in a terrace row, we didn't have a garden.
Yeah.
So we used to go up there on a Saturday, catch the bus, the four of us, and spend the day up there.
Now, What sort of house did you live in?
It was a terraced house on what was a very busy main road at the time, Manchester Road. It was quite a big house. The downstairs was the shop, and that took over two. It had two windows, and in the one window there was all cakes and biscuits and cut meats, and in the other window we used to have fruit and vegetables. And then behind the shop we had like a dining room, which led into a kitchen, which was quite long. My granddad's time, they put on an extension, so we had quite a long kitchen. And above that we had our sitting room we had upstairs to keep away from the shop. And then there were two bedrooms on that level and a bathroom. And then up another flight of stairs, which was the attic, was another two bedrooms. Me and my sister used to sleep in the front bedroom. My brothers were in the back bedroom. Mum and Dad were downstairs. And the back bedroom, like the extension bit next to the garage, was just a storage room for all the bags for the shop and everything.
What about at the back outside? Was it a sort of a backyard, or did you have a little garden or anything?
It was a backyard, which was quite long really, because we had two sheds in it. The first shed was where in my granddad and great-grandfather's time, they used to have a boiler for bottling chickens and bottling fruits. And when we were kids, we quite often used to go in there and play with this old boiler. And there was lots of bottles with lids and everything, and we used to find it playing in that shed, you know. And then we had a top shed, which when we were a bit older, we cleared out and made it into our little den. And we had an outside toilet, even though it wasn't used. We did have an inside toilet. And then we just had one privet tree and a little scrap of soil, put nothing in it. But the next door is garden, which also belonged to my mum and dad. We owned both houses. Because when we were younger, when granddad was still living at 137 Manchester Road, we used to live at 135, which was next door. And then when granddad retired and moved up to Ingle, we moved into the shop, and then we rented out that property to a couple who were in it. Well, I think they're still in it now, although he's died, but I think Anne's still living in the property now.
Okay. Tell me about the area that you lived in, which was right in more or less the heart of Manchester Road, wasn't it? Tell me about that area. Describe it to me.
As I was a child.
Yes.
Well, at the front and the back of the shop were all terraced houses. I think they were mill houses, because there was a lot of mills round there. And the convent, as it was Horrocks's house. And he had all the terraced houses belonging to the mills round there. They were just little two ups and two downs, with the back. And then there was a church sort of across the road and round the corner, St. Augustine's Church. And then on the corner of Manchester Road, there was the Whitehill Convent. I do remember some of the shops. There used to be a butcher's across the road. On the end of the road there was a pub, and then there was a sweet shop, which my granddad's day was one of his sister's shops. She used to own that. But there was a sweet shop, and then there was a couple of houses, then there was our shop, and then there was the betting shop next door to that, and then just another row of houses.
So it was quite self-contained. An area.
Yes, yeah.
What about your relationship with neighbours? Were they good or distant, sharing?
Well, I remember the people next door, because they had a son and daughter about our age, and we used to play with them. And we were always sort of in and out of each other's houses. We always knew Anna's Auntie Anne. She used to go in and make us jam butties, which my parents weren't very pleased about, because we used to spoil our dinner. We used to have proper dinners, you know. We used to have, "Have you been eating jam butties again at Anne's?" But with living in a shop, we knew everybody, really. We knew the people in the area, and you got to know the generations of people. With Dad's family having the shop for so long, he knew people there and he went to school with, and he knew who they'd married, and quite often they'd talk about people with the maiden names rather than the married names, and it used to get very confusing. So you sort of knew the people that your parents knew, and you grew up with them and you went to school with them.
So
I think it's very friendly.
Yeah, so there was a sense of a rather close-knit community. People knew each other and knew about each other's families.
Yeah, because a lot of people around there were Catholics, and they all used to go to St. Augustine's.
Yeah.
So everybody met regularly at St. Augustine's Church, and everything that was going on, and got involved in it. Like, Mum was in the Mullers Union, and Dad used to go and ring the bell for the masses at certain masses, and we'd all be there lined up in church. Yeah.
What about in the house itself? Did you do any chores as children? Did you have jobs to do?
Only I can remember when the shop shut at 6 o'clock. We always used to have tea together when the shop was shut. So Mum would be making the tea. Dad would be shutting up the shop, and we all had to come down and bring the things out of the shop, the cooked meats and the bacon and everything, and the sausages, and put them in the fridge in the kitchen. We had one of these huge fridges with very thick walls, very old-fashioned, I think it had been the donkey's years. So everything, shops didn't have refrigerated compartments or anything in those days, so everything had to be brought from the shop into the kitchen, into the fridge. So that was our job. And putting the lids on the biscuit tins, because they used to sell loose biscuits rather than packets. And we used to have to put the lids on the biscuit tins.
Was there any baking done at the shop?
Not in my memory, not when I was a child, but there certainly was when my granddad was there and his grandpa, his dad before him. Used to bake cakes and biscuits, and in fact they used to make Christmas cakes. They used to make potted meat. I remember one of my childhood memories is of my granddad standing at the stove making potted meat, and he always used to tell me, "Don't stand too close because the steam can burn you," on a big pot on the stove, and he used to put all sorts of things in it, and the gelatine to set, make it set, and then he used to put it into moulds and wait for it to set in the fridge. People used to love it because it was a cheap meat.
Probably very nutritious as well. Yeah. What about shopping? I assume that where food was concerned, you obviously catered for yourself from the shop.
Yeah, we lived out of the shop. Mm. We didn't do any shopping as such.
Yeah. What about other types of shopping?
Well, we used to go to a butcher's, which was somebody that Dad knew, so we had to support them like they supported us in the shop. They bought from us and we bought from them. So every Sunday we'd have a joint, 1 week lamb and 1 week beef. And I think that was on London Road. I think I remember going down with my mum to get the meat. And then I think a fish van used to come round, because we always used to have fish on the Fridays. So the fish van would come round and we'd buy fish for Friday tea. But I think pretty much everything else was out of the shop.
What about clothes? Where, did your mother make any clothes at all, or did you buy them?
Mum did make clothes, yes. We didn't have very many, because we always had to have a school uniform. And the school uniforms were quite expensive. So we just tended to have that. And something for Sunday best. We always had a nice coat and a hat, because we always had to have a hat to go to church in. And an outfit for Sunday. And then we had things for playing out in. Trousers and things for playing out in.
Okay. Coming to play, which is actually quite important. Where did you play when you were a child, and who did you play with?
We played in the backyard with the neighbours, with the next door neighbours' children when we were younger. And then as we got older, we sort of ventured further afield, and we went to go out of the back into the ginnel. And by this time, the houses had been pulled down. So the back of our yard was open, because all the houses had been pulled down. So the actual building site was our playground for a number of years. We used to have some real fun on there. We used to play with some families of children from Carr Street, Larkhill Street and Larkhill Road. And we used to actually play in their street opposite the convent, because it was a very quiet road. There weren't many cars around in those days. Very few people had cars. So we used to play in that road. And we used to play cricket and hopscotch. And we used to sing those rhymes, "Who's got the bowlio? Throw the ball. I haven't got it, it isn't in the pocket," that sort of game. And then when we were doing our shed, when we cleaned the shed out at the top of the garden, we had a little club that we invented with all our friends, and this was our clubhouse. And as they were pulling the houses down, we used to get to know who'd moved out. So we'd be in the house when they moved out, and they always left things behind. And we'd find an odd chair or an odd picture and take it out of the house and put it in our shed. It was like fair games. So our shed was quite well decorated. We had, I'll never forget, we got a picture of the Laughing Cavalier. And we used to go in like the winter months when it was cold, and we'd have candles in the shed. We'd got a table. Oh, quite often people used to abandon cars. We used to call it the bonk. On the bonk, where all the rubble was, where they pulled the houses down. And we would take out the leather seats from the cars, which most cars had in those days, leather seats. And we'd make settees and chairs out of them for our shed. And one time we got a picture of the Laughing Cavalier, and we had these candles on, and we used to tell ghost stories and frighten each other to death. And then Helen and Martin and Paul, my brothers and sisters, lived in Carr Street. They used to be frightened to go home, so we used to have to walk them home.
So you made your own amusements, really?
Yes.
Apart from that, played quite traditional games that have been handed down over generations. Mm. Did you do a lot of skipping or anything like that?
We used to do that at school, not at home. Somebody would bring in a big rope, and we'd all line up and skip through the rope and have rhymes that we sang as we did that. Another craze at the time was elastics. We'd have a long piece of elastic, and two people would wrap it round the legs, and you'd do a little dance of bringing this elastic over and getting into a tangle in the middle with it. And then when it was wet play times, a lot of people had jacks, the little counters that you threw up a ball and you had to collect. First time you had to catch one jack, then you had to catch two jacks, then you had to catch three. And we used to play pickup sticks. A lot of our amusement at that time was playing on the building sides. Because we used to knock some of the houses down.
Did you play? Did you have mixed play? Did you play with boys as well as girls, or?
Oh yes, yeah. Because by the time we're that age, my older brother and sister didn't play with us. They went off and played with their own friends. And there was just me and my younger brother Jared. And we used to play with Helen, Paul and Martin Lonsdale and Ian Scriven and Paul Carr and the Lockwoods. It was Christine and Sandra Lockwood and Peter. So we all used to play together.
Okay. What about your relationship with your parents? You know, were they casual or strict? You know, did they play with you as children?
No, I don't remember them playing with us as children. They always seemed to be very busy in the shop. Because the shop didn't shut till 6. When we came home from school, we went straight upstairs to the sitting room, and they were in the shop. But it is one thing that my dad always insisted on, that we ate together. He said we should all get together and eat and talk and tell each other what we'd done during the day. So we did. There wasn't any of this silence at the table. We used to chat and talk about everything that was going on, that's happened to us during the day, tell each other stories and everything. But then after tea, we'd all go back up to the sitting room and Dad would be busy back in the shop. And Mum quite often used to wash up and sit downstairs and read the paper and then join us later. And Dad didn't come up till practically bedtime. So we didn't see an awful lot of my dad. Although he was there, he was in the house, we didn't see an awful lot of him, and I can't remember him playing with us. Apart from on a Sunday when we used to go out, because we didn't have a garden, and Dad insisted that we'd go out to the countryside. So usually in the summer months we'd go out on a Sunday for a ride in the car. Well, we had a little green van. Don't know how we all fitted in actually, because it was only a two-seater little green van. But I do remember Mum telling us, I can't remember it, but my older brother and sister, well, Christine certainly can, they attached two deck chairs in the back of the van for Christine and Julian to sit in. Because during the week it was a delivery van, because he used to go to the market in the mornings, pick up fruit and veg and bring them back to the shop. And then he used to do a lot of orders as well, where he'd make orders up and deliver them different people. So during the week it was a delivery van, and at the weekends it was made into a little four-seater car with these deck chairs, and he put wooden pegs in to hold them in. And I can remember, I've looked at pictures of us, and there's Mum, Dad, us four children, and my grandma and granddad have gone out in that van. Now I don't know how we all fitted in, but we must have done, because there's pictures of us all out having a picnic sitting in front of the green van. But I don't know how we ever fitted in it. But we actually did used to play with, on a Sunday, we'd always take cricket bats and balls, and we'd have a game of cricket wherever we went. And Uncle Joe used to quite often come with us, that's Mum's brother. And he used to like playing cricket. So we used to have a game together, all playing cricket.
So Sunday was quite a family day.
It was. Yeah, we'd get up in the morning and we wouldn't have any breakfast, but we'd go straight out to church, usually 9 o'clock mass. We'd come back and have a big breakfast, and then set off for somewhere, take a picnic during the summer. In the winter, we always have a proper Sunday dinner.
Okay. What about celebration of events, special events such as, you know, Christmas, Easter, bonfire night? Have you got any special recollections of special holiday events?
Yeah, bonfire night. We always had a bonfire. Next door to our shop was a sweet shop, and they used to sell fireworks. We would always be given money to go in and buy fireworks off Stan Little, his name was, and Elsie's wife. And we'd buy these fireworks, we'd be sent in, I forget how much, but can we have so many worth of fireworks, you know. But then he always made a bonfire in his garden. It wasn't a garden as such, it was just back of the yard. But he seemed to have a lot more land than we had, because there used to be an old brewery bond where they used to store bottles at the back. So we used to have this bonfire on that land there, and Stan always used to bring all the leftover fireworks that he had sold. So we always had lots of fireworks. And I remember, all standing around the bonfire and watching all these fireworks going off. And then in later years, because the back of our house was a building site, we had the bonfire out there, and we used to go around collecting firewood, which there's plenty of living near a bomb site. We used to collect all the wood and build a bonfire. We used to invite all our friends and all our friends' mums and dads, and we'd be anxiously waiting for them to come and light it for us. And Dad used to say, well, let me shut the shop up first and I'll come and light it for you. So we got a lot of fireworks then, because everybody brought them. Christmas was a great celebration. Grandma and Grandad from Chorley and Uncle Joseph always used to come to our house on Christmas Day. And we used to have traditional Christmas dinner.
Tell me what you did, you know. Tell me what you did during the day, the whole day, if you can.
On Christmas Day?
Yeah, typically.
Yeah, right. Well, we'd get up. There'd be all our presents there. We used to have a chair each. Can't remember getting an awful lot, but I think we were quite privileged compared to some children. We did get presents. We always got a selection box each. We always got crayons and colouring books. We always got a book each. And different little things. What did I get one year? A doll's house. And I found out in later years that one of my dad's friends had actually made this doll's house. And it had an electric light in. There was a battery in the back with a little bulb, and it used to light up when you switched a switch, and there's all furniture for it, and it was lovely. One year I got a little sewing machine, because I liked to sew, a little doll sewing machine which actually worked, because I used to like making doll's clothes. My brothers used to get Meccano. I remember them playing with Meccano, building things with it, and Brico. Used to build houses with the brickwork and lots of cars, toy cars. So yes, we'd all get lots of presents, and then we'd get dressed up and go out to church, and then we'd come back and Mum and Dad would be busy in the kitchen making the Christmas dinner, and Dad would go over to Chorley to pick Grandma and Grandad and Uncle Joseph up and bring them back. And then we'd have lots more presents. We'd have a present each off Grandma and Grandad. And then it would be dinner time, and we'd all sit down to a lovely dinner. We used to have it downstairs, and the table would be brought into the middle of the room. And everything was all spread out on the table. And then after, after dinner we'd all go upstairs to watch the television. There'd usually be a circus. I could always remember circuses being on at Christmas time. And then we'd all have tea after that. We seemed to be eating all day long. So we'd all get brought, Mum and Dad would disappear again downstairs, and we'd come down and there'd be all the best china out. And plates with cakes on. We always had those little triangular chocolate biscuits. Every Christmas, I remember, we always had them. And then we'd have slices of turkey and salad and ham with Christmas pudding and cake. And then we'd go back upstairs, and sometimes we used to have a sing song. We'd sing Christmas carols, because Grandma used to get fed up with the television and said, come on, we'll have a sing song. So we'd sing Christmas carols and have a few drinks of sherry. And then Dad would take Grandma, Grandma and Uncle Joseph home, and we'd all be packed off up to bed.
It sounds like a really nice Christmas altogether. What about discipline at home, Angela? You know, who enforced it?
It was usually Mum. She was the one that was around the most.
Was she very strict?
I can't ever remember being shouted at too much about anything. But if Dad ever shouted at us, that was really serious. Mum used to get a bit hysterical at times because there were four children in the shop, and she always used to say, used to gang up on me. I can't remember being shouted at an awful lot. No. And we certainly were never hit. But the only time she used to get annoyed with me was when I used to bring me school reports or. And I haven't done as well as she thought I should do, and I used to get in trouble then. But that's as much as I can remember. I don't remember being shouted at too much. We used to get silly at times, with there being four of us, and giggling and laughing, and we'd do something. If we acted silly, we used to get in trouble for being too silly.
What about holidays? Did you ever go on holidays as a child?
We did, yeah. We quite often went to Wales. Because we had a car, and we just used to pack up and go off to Wales and stay in bed and breakfast. I can't remember too many holidays when I was too young. And we went to Cornwall one time. But we only ever stopped in bed and breakfasts, and I can remember Mum once telling us that we set off on holiday and we hadn't booked anywhere. We only ever used to go for a week because they couldn't afford to shut the shop for longer than that. We always went in Preston holiday week. Most of the time we're on holiday anyway, so we wouldn't lose much profit from the shop, you know. We set off down there, the six of us, and we didn't have any accommodation booked or anything, and we'd arrived in, it must have been Wales, and we were knocking on doors at these bed and breakfast places, and if it was more than two and six, we couldn't afford it, so we used to go on to somewhere else, two and six ahead. Quite often these landladies, they did take pity on us and take us in, you know, these poor children. We'd end up in four of us in a double bed, you know, and we thought it was marvellous. And we'd go down to the beach, and there's lots of pictures of us on beaches, in and out of the sea.
So you've nice memories, really, of those little jaunts.
Quite often we used to go away at Easter as well, because I'd like to get away to the countryside. And we used to go up to the Lake District at Easter and stop with a lady Mrs. Bland, her name was. She had a farm bed and breakfast in the Lake District. And we used to go up there for Easter. And I can remember lovely meals and days out in the Lake District. It was good. Rolling our Easter eggs in the the Lake District hills.
Did anyone in the family smoke or drink?
Yeah, Mum and Dad both smoked. A lot of people did in those days, didn't they? But they never drank very much. As we grew older, they used to go out for meals more than anything, with friends. And they'd have a drink then. But they weren't regular drinkers. They didn't go out to the pub drinking together or anything. They'd have a drink with a meal. We always had wine at Christmas and those sort of occasions. We were always given a little drop as a child. Because when we said, if you try it now, you won't. She used to like us having a little glass of wine and a little glass of sherry or something. But they never went out to the pub. I remember Dad saying that there was a pub, King Street, on the corner. And he said, many a night I would have liked to have gone and had a pint. He said, but all the customers come in there. And if I'd have bought a pint for one, I'd have had to buy a pint for them all. So I'm better just not going and being seen to favour one person above another. So he didn't go.
Going on to education, school. Which school did you go to first?
I went to Larkhill Convent School.
And what? How old were you when you first went?
I must have been 5 when I first went to school.
What are your earliest memories?
I remember being made to feel very privileged because it was a private school and we were paid for. Mum always regretted not having a proper education. She was always very clever at school, and she regretted not being able to go on and do what she wanted. So she was adamant that her daughters in particular would have a good education. So me and my sister went to Larkhill Convent.
Okay. Have you any memories of early memories of the school itself?
Yeah. Remember the uniform? I remember the first day at school wearing a little brown pinafore dress with a yellow blouse and brown socks and brown shoes and a brown coat and a brown hat and being packed off to school. Feeling ever so smart. But my first memory of my first day was, I remember sitting in class at a little desk, and it was a nun that took the lesson. And we were all told to look in our desks and find a pencil and a ruler. And I didn't have a ruler in my desk. And I got into trouble for not having a ruler in my desk. And she was saying, where's your ruler? I said, I don't know. And another girl piped up, oh, she's a new girl. She's only just started today. Oh, well, you shouldn't have a ruler in your desk then. They were quite strict. I can remember learning to read. We used to read, there were flower fairy books we learned to read with. And I remember learning to read very quickly and writing on a chalkboard. We all had a little blackboard in our desks with chalk, and we used to do our letters on the chalkboard. And our classroom had a canary in it, and it was Reverend Mother's canary.
Were all the teachers nuns?
They weren't, no. The headmistress was a nun. and there was another nun, but the rest of the teachers were not nuns.
Can you remember any of the teachers?
I can remember Miss McGuinness. We started off in kindergarten, they called it. I can't remember. That was a nun. The nun taught us in there. And then we went to Miss McGuinness's when we were six, and that was down the little corridor. She was a very tall woman that wore very tight skirts. I think it must have been the fashion in those days to wear very tight pencil skirts, and she was very tall. And then we went to preparatory, I think it was called. Lower, I can't remember the names of them now. Miss Thompson was the next one. Can't remember much about her, really. We used to do sewing.
What were your favourite subjects?
English, usually English. I liked to write stories. I didn't like maths. I could never quite fathom maths. I was used to be sort of one step behind everybody else. And just clicked at the last minute, you know, and I was, used to struggle a bit with maths. And my sister was in the top class as I went in to kindergarten. And I can remember I cried a lot at school. I didn't really like school because we used to have to drink the milk. I never liked drinking the milk. Now at home I used to drink milk all the time, but we used to get milk in these little bottles and used to be left sitting outside in the sun. Flies used to get it, and I was a very faddy child. And I just didn't like drinking this warm milk that flies could possibly have got into. So every break time I used to cry because I didn't want to drink this milk, and they made you drink it. And so my sister used to drink it for me. But then when she moved up to the senior school, I had to drink it myself. So I learned to drink the milk myself.
What about discipline at school? Was it strict? Was there corporal punishment?
There wasn't corporal punishment, no. But they were very strict. And I think that was done by the religious side of it, which kept you in tow. Because they were very, very religious.
So there was an emphasis on religious instruction?
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, we had prayers at the beginning. We had an assembly where we sang a hymn and said prayers, and then before each lesson we'd just say prayers, and at the end of each lesson we'd just say a prayer. And I think the discipline was there because of the religious aspect, really, because they always said that, oh, Our Lady's watching you all the time, and if you're bad you'll make her unhappy. And we were told about this, the cardinal sins, and every time you sin you get a blot on your soul. And it was that sort of fear of that happening, the fear of going to hell, that kept you in tow, I think. Made you good people. One way or another.
What about, you know, special... special days, holy days, Easter and Whitsun, were there special celebrations for, you know, for them? Did you go on any Whitsun walks, for example?
I can remember what we used to call walking round, which was we walked round the grounds of the school in our white dresses and veils. I always remember Corpus Christi. That was a big celebration because we used to walk all around the school in a procession, singing hymns, all with our rosary beads in a procession. And then if it was fine, we used to go out into the grounds and walk all around the grounds. And they used to have strewing of petals where I think it was eight girls out of the top class were chosen to be strewers, and they used to be they used to walk in front of the procession and strew petals so that the statue of, I think it was the statue of Our Lord, was carried by some pallbearers, and that used to walk, they used to walk over it. I was a strewer. We carried a little basket with petals in, and every so often we'd kiss the petals and put them on the floor. It was a great privilege.
Okay. What subjects were you taught, Angela?
Maths and English, geography. I remember doing about maps and different countries. Used to do needlework. This was in junior school. Can't remember anything else, telling the truth.
Do you do domestic science?
In the senior school we did, yeah. In art. Yeah, in the senior school we did art, domestic science, needlework, English, maths, science. Remember all the sciences were split up into three. We did chemistry, biology and physics, and they were all separate lessons. And then our maths was split up into algebra, arithmetic and geometry.
So you had quite a varied curriculum.
Yes, yeah.
What about physical exercise? Did you go to the gym or swimming in school? Or?
We never went swimming, but we used to have PE lessons.
PE lessons, yeah.
Yeah, we played netball in the winter, rounders in the summer, and then we used to have apparatus out, like horses and ropes, and swings.
What about your parents' attitude to school in general? Was it very positive, supportive?
Oh, yes. Yeah, they wanted, especially Mum, she wanted us to do well. Dad wasn't that bothered, really. He just said, oh, do your best and work hard, and he never used to bother about school. Because he had trouble. He always had trouble spelling, Dad. Couldn't spell very well. Mum was really keen. She wanted us to do well at school.
What about homework? Did you get homework?
We did, yeah, right from the word go. I think our school was different to... if we'd have gone to St. Augustine's school, I think it would have been slightly different. My brothers went to St. Well, the eldest brother went to St. Augustine's. But then he was having trouble reading and writing, and they tended not to bother with him in those days. He just got put to the back of the class. So Mum wasn't having this, you see. She decided that my son's bright and it's your fault he can't read or write. So she took him away from that school and sent him to a different school. And he had a private tutor. And she said that he was, what would you say now, as being dyslexic. But they used to call it word blindness in those days. So Mum paid for him to have a special tutor. He went to night classes to be taught how to read again.
Do you think your father was possibly dyslexic?
Probably, yes. Yeah, because he did always have trouble spelling. And if he was writing out a cheque, he used to have all the numbers written on his desk, 16, 17, 18, so he could just copy them when he was writing a cheque. And he was always asking Mum how to spell things, and she used to do the writing for him, really.
No, that's fine. This was just a girls' school, wasn't it? So you were never taught with boys?
I wasn't while I was there, but when I got to the second year, I left that school and I went to a secondary modern school. So I was taught with boys then.
Where was that?
Thomas Muir at Fulwood. You see, because my eldest brother Julian was taken away from St. Augustine's, he went to St. Ignatius's. And because he'd gone there, Gerard followed him there. Now, the feeder school for St. Ignatius's was Thomas Moore. So they automatically went there. Because it was only just built, actually, because Julian went to the central, St. Ig's Central. Because he actually passed his 11 plus, but the teacher at the time said, because of his reading difficulties and spelling, he probably wouldn't flourish at Catholic College. They advised them not to send him to Catholic College because it would have been too strict a regime for him. So they said he would have been better. He stayed at St. Ig's Central, and then when they built Thomas Moore, he went there. He went there in the third year. Gerard went there, and then I went there.
What sort of experience was that? Did you enjoy Thomas Moore?
Yeah, I liked it a lot better. I liked it a lot better than the convent.
Why?
It was a lot easier going. Because I found at Lark Hill, it was always, you can do better. All the time, you can do better. You were never praised for what you did. And looking back, I was quite good at English. I used to get very good marks for English. I was quite good at writing stories, and I got a lot of imagination. And I think that was sort of beaten out of me through always being told, this is, you don't spell it this way, you don't spell it that way. Because I wasn't very good at spelling either. And I think more emphasis was placed on your spelling than your actual content of what you were writing. And I always felt I wasn't good enough. I never got praised for what I did. So I never actually wanted to go to the senior school, because a lot of my, friends from the area that didn't go to that school, that went to St. Augustine's, were going down to the secondary modern school, John Fisher. And when I was in the first and second year, I'd heard that girls that I knew, who I didn't think were very bright, were doing very well there. They were coming top of the class. And I always came bottom of the class at Lark Hill. And I was thinking, well, why am I bottom of the class? Because I'm always getting good marks. It was because the competition was too high. So when I went to Thomas Moore, I was top of the class, and it just boosted my ego completely. I was put in the A set straight away, and I found that we just did like general science. All the sciences were mixed up together, and it just seemed a lot easier. And the maths was easier, because what I'd done at Lark Hill, so like in French, for example, we used to learn French. At Lark Hill, we'd done every tense you could imagine by the second year. We'd done past tense, future tense. But when I went to Thomas Moore, it was still on the very early stages, and I'd done it all. So it gave me a chance to catch up the things that sort of missed. And I did quite well there.
Did you enjoy the company as well?
Fellow pupils? Yeah. I seemed to fit in better there. I found the girls from Lark Hill, although very nice girls, were quite a lot more privileged than I was. Came from, I won't say better homes, because I had a very good home, but more privileged homes, and the fact that they owned big houses up Fulwood, and the fathers were doctors and lawyers, and I always felt that I wasn't up to their standard. They had things that I didn't have. They could afford the clothes and things that I didn't have, and I always felt a little bit of an underdog there. And I used to get ridiculed. I remember once being ridiculed. I got this lovely bag for Christmas, And I'd had this bag about 2 years, and we'd gone to some social or other at the school, and I'd taken this bag thinking it was ever so nice. And somebody said, oh, how old-fashioned it was, because they could afford to buy the sort of the next fashionable thing, and I didn't bother about that. It was just my bag, but they thought it was really old-fashioned and all. But I found the girls a lot very nice at Thomas Moore. They were more my type.
At both schools, did you eat lunch in the school, or did you bring in sandwiches?
We always had lunch in the school.
What were the dinners like?
They were very good, actually. I quite enjoyed them. They were just very basic. At Thomas Moore, we had... We used to have to sit, four boys and four girls. The boys had to sit opposite the girls, and the girls had to go up and collect the tins with the food in. And it was usually some sort of meat and potatoes and vegetables. So the girls would go up and collect the tins and sit down, and we had to serve the boys. So one of we'd four of us sit there, and one would give out the meat or the fish or whatever it was. The next one would give out the potatoes. The next one would give out the vegetables, and then the other one had the gravy or whatever. So we waited on the boys.
Stereotypical gender roles.
Yeah.
So you had a cooked meal each day.
Yeah.
Can you remember how much you paid for the meals?
I can't know.
That's okay.
Oh, God. They used to have to take your dinner money in every Monday, didn't they? Yeah, I can't remember.
Did you wear a uniform at Thomas Moore?
We did, yeah. Yeah, it was a nice uniform. I liked it a lot better than Lark Hill because I didn't like the brown. We used to have to wear a grey skirt. Grey jumper with the emblem on, Thomas Moore emblem, and it's black and red, and I always suited red. And we used to have to wear a black blazer with red piping round with the emblem on, and a red hat, a red felt hat, and I always liked that uniform. And in the summer we used to have to wear pink checked dresses. Blazer, yeah, and a Panama hat. No, it was a Balter hat with a red ribbon round. I always liked that uniform.
How long did you stay at Thomas Moore? When did you leave school?
I left school after the fifth year, when I was 15.
Did you take any exams?
I took GCSEs. Not CSEs, yeah. It was always, if I'd have stopped at Lark Hill, I would have taken O-levels, because that's what grammar school did in those days, I took O-levels. But at secondary modules, you took CSEs, and they were supposed to be more practical based.
Okay. Which leads me on to the world of work, which is what CSEs were sort of aimed towards, weren't they?
Yeah.
So, you left school at 15.
Mm-hmm.
Where was your first job?
I didn't go straight to work. I went to college.
Okay, so where did you go to
college? I decided I wanted to do childcare. So, I went to Lytham St. Anne's Further Education College to do a residential childcare course. I was told at the time, because I was tossing up between doing nursing, which would have been at Alston Hall, or this residential childcare course at St. Anne's, and I quite fancied going to St. Anne's, you see. So I went for that one. But I was under the impression when I took it that I could do nursery nursing as well, but I couldn't. I found out 2 years later. But it was a more of an all-rounded course because we did all-levels as well. Whereas if I'd have gone and done the nursery nursing, that's all you did. And I think my mum was thinking, well, if she goes off the idea of nursery nursing, she'll still have some all-levels. So I took sociology, English literature, and human biology, all-levels. Oh, and nutrition and cookery. So I took 4 all-levels, plus the childcare course subjects.
So how long did you stay at London Centre?
It was 2 years. But then when I finished there, I decided I didn't want to do childcare after all. My mum knew better than I did. So with that, I got 4 O-levels, you see. I got 8 CSEs and 4 O-levels. So I do remember we went off on holiday. It was just Gerard and myself and mum and dad. We went on our very first Spanish holiday package tour that year. Stayed in a hotel for a week. And then when I got back, I thought, well, I better find myself a job. So I got an appointment with the Youth Employment Office. I think it was on Lancaster Road in those days. I had this appointment there, so I went and sat down and she said, well, what sort of work do you fancy doing? And I said, I'd like to work in an office. So she said, she thumbed through a few cards and she said, oh, we've got one here, an office junior, Sun Alliance Insurance Company, Winkley Square, would you fancy that? And I said, oh yeah, that'd be alright. So she said, right, I'll ring them up and see if I can get you an interview. So I went down, I think it was the following day, for an interview, and I started the following week as an office junior at Sun Alliance Insurance on Winkley Square.
Did you enjoy work?
I miss my friends, to tell you the truth. I didn't enjoy it when I was younger. I was 18 when I started work. And I hadn't been used to mixing with older people. So I didn't really get on very well with them. I was a bit too shy. And I used to miss my college friends. Being around a group of people my own age felt like a bit of a fish out of water to be put in with these older ladies and older men, which I was a bit scared of. But it wasn't too bad. There was a couple of young ones there.
What did you have to do?
As an office junior, you did most of the filing. It was mostly filing stuff away and putting things in envelopes. We didn't do an awful lot, really.
Can you remember how much you were paid?
I think it was about £24 a week.
And how many hours a week did you work?
Well, I'd work 9 to 5. That figure just sticks in my head, but it was £24 a month or £24 a week, I'm not so sure.
Okay. How long did you stay there?
I only stayed there 12 months.
And what did you do then?
I went to work for social services because I thought that might be more in keeping with what I studied to do with residential childcare. So I went to work at social services down Eastleigh. And there I was responsible for, there was an act passed in, I think it was 1970, the Disabled Persons Act, where they were allowed to get aids and adaptations to the property. And I sort of took charge of the paperwork for that. I'd get applications in. We were a divisional office, so I'd get the applications in from the area offices, from the social workers who'd been to see these people. And I'd have to do all the paperwork to see whether they qualified for it through personal circumstances and financial. And then if it was below a certain price, I could pass it as being all right. And then he used to go on to the head office to be put into action. But if it was above a certain price, it had to go to head office and be approved there. So I used to deal with the paperwork for that.
Did you work full time?
I did, yeah, 9 to 5.
And can you remember what you were paid for it?
No, too long ago. As long as I had enough to go out with, I wasn't bothered.
Did you keep all your wages, or did you have to pass them over to your parents?
I passed some over to my parents. I can't remember how much. I did pay board. I can't remember. It wouldn't have been too much.
What about your leisure time? We've talked about play as a child. As you became a teenager, did the type of leisure that you were involved in change? Well, it obviously did change. Did you join a youth club or any other organisation?
I joined, I never think when I was younger, I was in the Guides. We used to go, a friend and myself used to go up to English Martyrs Guides, and I was in that for a good few years. I enjoyed that. I used to go on camps. I remember going to Silverdale once in tents. And I really enjoyed it. I joined the youth club. That's probably when I was about 15. Went to the youth club at St. Lustin's. We used to go to St. Gregory's Youth Club. And we used to go to St. Tate's Youth Club. But St. Augustine's was the one we stuck with and went to regularly. It was a good use.
What sort of activities did took place?
Well, there was dancing. There was a DJ on, and you could dance, which is what me and my friends used to like to do. And then there was like a coffee bar where you could sit in and drink a coffee and chat. And one of the leaders used to do the Duke of Edinburgh's Award, so I started doing the Duke of Edinburgh's Award. I did the silver. No, I did the bronze, and I did the silver. I finished there, because I think going out to nightclubs took over then, so I didn't finish it off. A friend of mine did. She ended up getting the gold award and went to Buckingham Palace to get it. I gave it in.
So as you became older, you obviously graduated towards a more fashionable nightlife. I want to come back to the Frenchwood area. You told me about the immediate locality, you know, the shops, the houses. How important was the church to the local community?
It was very important. That was the hub of the community, really. Because a lot of people around there were Catholics. And used to go to church. I can always remember church functions. We used to have jumble sales and fancy fairs and things like that to raise money for different things. And just everybody went. Your parents went, your friends went, everybody that you knew went there.
So it wasn't only a religious hub, it was also a social hub as well.
I'd say so, yeah. Used to see the same families there every week.
Was religion a strong force in your life and in the life of the community?
I'd say so, yes. Yeah, because that's where you were brought up. You went to a Catholic school. And you tended only to mix with Catholics. It wasn't until you went into the world of work that you met people who were non-Catholics, as we used to call them. It was like Catholics and non-Catholics.
So there was still... a religious divide, even if it was unspoken, during the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, because we used to have St. James's, that was the non-Catholic church. It was just on the corner of Manchester Road. It got pulled down. Yeah.
Was there a school attached to it, to St. James?
No. It was the St. Augustine's. The old school got burnt down. And then they built the new one. For years it was ironic, really, because my brothers didn't go to the local school, St. Augustine's, they went up to St. Higgs. But then when the school burnt down, all the children were sent up to St. Higgs. While they built the new school.
Was it a very friendly area? Did you feel comfortable growing up in that environment?
Yes, yeah. There was never any threat. It was never even thought of, really. You just felt safe. We never went very far, you see. My life revolved in a triangle, really. Like from the shop to the church to school. And that was my little triangle. We very rarely went anywhere else, and then we'd go into town. So it was all very tightly knit. We didn't really need to go any further.
Did you feel fairly free as a child to wander around that little area?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Because Mum and Dad were in the shop, and they didn't know where we were. Once we graduated from playing in the yard, we used to go as far as London Road. We used to go to the shops. There used to be a joke shop down on London Road that we used to go to. And we'd just take ourselves off down there, and then we'd go into town on our own, and there was never any threat of anything. We'd go to the library. We just used to wander as far as we wanted. We were never allowed to go on the park on our own. But I can't remember ever wanting to tell you the truth. We just stayed.
So you never really went on Avenham Park and Miller Park?
No.
As close as they were to you?
No.
What about down to the river?
No, we never went down there.
Okay. When did you start seriously courting?
When I was about 22, no, 20, 20, I was married at 22, 20.
How did your parents react?
I think they were quite glad, really, to see me settling down, because I used to go out quite a lot. Myself and my friends used to go into town on a Friday night and a Saturday night, sometimes on a Sunday night. And I think she was quite pleased, really, for me to settle down.
Okay. When did you get married?
I got married in 1978.
Okay. What's the name of your husband?
John McNabb.
What was his occupation?
He was an aircraft fitter at British Aerospace.
When you married, did you continue working after you were married?
I did, yeah. I used to work at Visionaire then. I carried on working.
And your first home together, was it rented or did you buy it?
We bought it.
Can you remember how much it cost?
£10,500.
And did you have to put down a deposit on it, or?
We did, yeah. We put £2,000 deposit down.
Did you have to provide any surety, any references, to be able to get this mortgage on?
Mortgages were very difficult to get at the time. I seem to remember. can't remember about that. I just have a reference to them.
Okay. How many children have you?
Two.
And who are they and how old are they?
Well, there's Helen, my eldest daughter, and she's 25. And then Kate, who's 21.
Were they born at home or in hospital?
In hospital.
Okay. Now, coming back again to the Frenchwood area, do you have any special memories of your childhood and early adult years that stand out? Any special memories of the area?
I think it was playing on the building site. It was just such good fun. We were just let to go wild, really. And this scavenging thing that we used to do, that was really good fun. Yeah. We used to wait until people moved out, and then we'd move in and see what they'd left for us.
Were people generally respectable in the area? Generally decent, respectable? How would you describe the community there?
Yeah, very honest people, very honest, hard-working people, really. Most people did work. And lots of people had very big families, and they must have found it hard. But most fathers worked, and mothers stayed at home to look after the children.
Yeah. Were they generally working-class people?
Yeah, I'd say so.
So it was a working class community?
Yeah.
Is there a favoured memory that you have?
What, as a child?
Hmm.
What, of the area?
I suppose of the area and of your own life.
I do remember Sundays being very special. I didn't like getting up and going out without breakfast, but I always felt safe in church and part of a community. Because you'd see the same people there every week, and we'd go in, and it was packed out in those days, because if you were late you wouldn't get a place. We would be able to all sit together as a family, and I can remember we always used to sit in the same order. Mum would go in first, then the Beals children, and Dad at the end, and that's how every family was. We had Mum in the inside, all the children, then Dad at the end. I can remember being feeling sort of part of a community with all the same people being there.
Yeah, a sense of security about that.
Mm.
You briefly told me about a lot of families were quite large. Was there any visible poverty that you can remember?
People used to come in the shop and you could tell they were very hard up. Everybody did the best in those days. Everybody sort of made their own clothes if they couldn't afford to buy them. And I always remember everybody being quite well turned out, especially for church. You had to be. You had to have your best clothes on, and you had to be seen to be presentable to go to church. And I think a lot of the people had hand-downs, didn't they? I know I always used to have to wear my sister's clothes. So I think with the big families, the clothes were bought and then handed down. So people didn't look scruffy. Everybody seemed to look well-dressed. And from what I can remember, anyway. But people, I mean, obviously people did come in the shop, and Dad used to do sort of special offers like the ends of bacon off the main roll of bacon, and you'd have it on a little tray and he'd sell it cheaper, and people would come in and, oh, I'll have that bacon, you know, as if they were, and I used to think, oh, they're a bit hard up, you know, they can't afford the proper bacon, they've got to buy scraps sort of thing, and everybody used to cook, didn't they, themselves and make cheap good meals, so I think everybody was well nourished even though they were practically not, didn't have a lot of money.
Okay. Do you have any bad memories of the area?
Okay.
That's okay. Right. I'll leave it at that, Angela. I want to thank you very much. That's been absolutely fantastic.